Now, if you have kids listening, please fast forward to the next 60 seconds or so. What I'm about to discuss is a little bit adulterated. So here we go. Who is going to supply the strippers for James Harden in the bubble league? They have an area the size of Manhattan to house this bubble league. I'm sure they have a lot of venues, a lot of places where they can, you know, put up a strip club. But, you know, they better be the best strip clubs because, you know, James Harden known to not play that well when, you know, strip clubs are lacking or lower quality. And, you know, I'm not kidding. I mean, there is documentation about, you know, his level of play when strip clubs are not of the greatest quality. Not sure how they rate the quality of the strip club, but, you know, what about all the entertainment, you know? And just think of the irony of bringing hundreds of strippers into Disney World. You know, that isn't that something.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Basketball Daddy Podcast. I'm your host, Keith. In this episode, I'm going to recap three of my previous episodes to recap something I missed, some omissions, and I'm going to also talk about recent NBA news and my thoughts on that regarding how it impacts fantasy basketball. Now, you remember I did two episodes where I take a look at players that are ranked or preseason ranked outside the top 30 from 30 to 100. And that was in two episodes. And in each of those episodes, I think I highlighted the player that dropped a great deal from the preseason rank. I also highlighted the players that rose a great deal from the preseason rank. Examples like Mike Conley, who dropped or was seeming like 100 spots. Joe Ingles also dropped. But guys like Hassan Whiteside went from 80 to rank number 8 during the season. And that's just to highlight, you know, how widely a player can fluctuate outside the top 30. Another example is, you know, there are only a few guys that actually held their ranking. You know, like Terry Rozier held his top 60 ranking, and Pascal Siakam held his top 30 ranking. But those are only a few players that did held their ranking. Everyone else just either drop a few rounds or rose a few rounds. So picking a player outside top 30, you know, is a bit of a roll on the dice, bit of a crapshoot. You know, if you get lucky, you hit guys that rose a couple rounds, and if you're not lucky, you know, you have players that you want to drop. To further cement that, you look at guys that are outside the top 100 on preseason rank. You can look at Brandon Ingram outside the top 120, and he went all the way to top 30 this year. Devontae Graham outside top 200 preseason rank rose all the way to top 80. And why the fluctuation like that? Well, you know, things change every year. Players have different movements, coaches changes, schemes changes, players improve, players decline. Yeah. Unless you're spending a pick on the top two rounds, you can expect any of your picks to either jump really high or jump really low, or fall really low. That's just how fantasy is with all sports, not just basketball. Now, on my previous episode with fantasy pairings, there was a big omission, and that is Stephon Curry from the episode. Of all the guys I mentioned, I did not mention Stephon Curry. Stephon Curry this year, well, he only played limited time, did average over 20 points, 6 assists, a couple of threes. I omitted him because he just didn't play enough. And, you know, come next year, he probably will be a guy to consider with pairing up with some of those centers I mentioned, like Capella, Whiteside, Gobert. Just because Steph Curry does so much on the free throws, the threes, the points. His percentages are great. Field goal percentages are great for a guard like him. Also give you the assists, and still has the steals. You know, kind of just like a Kyrie Irving, James Harden type of guy. So yeah, that's the omission I want to follow up on, Stephon Curry. And next year, if John Wall comes back, you probably can pair him up with another center. Even though John Wall does block almost one shot a game, I think he, at one point, he did average one block shot a game. He's that type of guard. I don't think he'll average a block or close to it. Maybe half a block. Just because he came back from injury, like tying things doesn't come back soon. You know, he'll probably have a down year coming back from injury like that. It would probably be better for him to not try to block that many shots to save himself and just focus on playmaking and shooting. Now, on to the news about the NBA. Recently, there's some news, some momentum on the NBA getting resumed, and they're going to start playing basketball probably in July in a bubble scenario, meaning they only gonna have all the teams to go back to Walt Disney in the ESPN studio. They have courts, they have broadcasting equipment there to broadcast the games, they have hotels, Disney resorts to house all the players and team staffs. And they can, you know, they have staff and hotel staff, and they have the facility to accommodate such a concept of a bubble league in a sort of sense. And they're gonna bring back, you know, about 20 teams, I heard, and they're gonna have a 5-game tournament. Each team, I assume the 20 team will be 10 from each conference, and each team will play 5 games against the other 9 team in the conference. I guess another 9 team in the top 10 in that conference. And then they got to decide the playoff seeding that way. You know, whether you get in or not, or whether you try to get that top seed or just change your playoff seeding using a 5-game mini tournament, mid-season mini tournament. Now, that's a great idea, but I think I'd much rather they just go straight to the playoffs. A lot of the teams that are outside the playoffs are like separated by more than 3 games, 3 games or more. And, you know, when a 5-game tournament against those top 9 teams in the conference, it only takes like one loss for them to be really effectively out of the tournament or have nothing to play for. And some teams in the top seed probably don't have a lot to play for. They can secure their seeding within a game or two. And there's no incentive for them to play their star players. In fact, if, let's say, a team is out of the playoff, then the rest of the way, they're just going to tank. You know, tank in the tournament. They're not going to play the stars. And so it doesn't really, it kind of defeats the purpose or takes away a lot of the excitement out of a mid-season tournament, you know. And also including more teams, including 4 more teams from all the players, and each of those teams requires more people, which is more risk in terms of exposure and just, you know, logistically management. You know, you can do better with 4 less teams. If you just go straight to playoff, have a quick first round, then you eliminate four more teams in each conference, then you're down to like eight teams, then it's more manageable to have a playoff. You know, less exposure, less player, you know, better. So that's my thought on how the NBA should resume. Now, how they resume is totally up to them. I know they have TV contracts they want to satisfy. This is why they play an extra five games. But effectively for fantasy, either way, if they're not going to play the last 15 or so games that they had left, if they only play five games, there's no reason to resume your fantasy league. Might as well just stop the league and just pay out whoever's in the playoff, gets payout evenly, split the money. You know, and if you're in the middle of playoffs, I guess the team that remaining in the playoff will split the money. So let's say you have four teams remaining when the season stopped. Those four teams gets a cut of the pot, the prize evenly. If you have six teams and all six of them get evenly distributed. Like if your playoff haven't started it, that's a little bit debatable. You know, how close are they from the playoffs? How close are those teams away from the playoffs? Then you have to discuss whether, you know, which team gets included in splitting up the pot, the prize. If you play in a cash league, of course. If you don't play in a cash league, no, none of this matters. So it's very fluid right now, but most likely the fantasy season is over. If the momentum keeps going this way of having a mini tournament. Now, my thought of a mini tournament is that I always liked the idea. In fact, last April 2019, I wrote to ENBA about an idea about a mini tournament where team would play 50 or 60 games, and then the remaining 15 or 20 games would be taking place in a mini tournament where the top 20 teams, 10 from each conference, would do like a round robin style play, where they just play each team within their conference, in those top teams, to decide playoff seeding or decide playoff berth. The mini tournament, everyone will start fresh. Like the regular season record goes away, you get put in a group and you play like a group play, kind of like FIFA style. You split the teams into groups, and then you do group plays, and then you do elimination rounds. And then you decide the top eight team in each conference to go into a regular NBA playoff. The remaining teams that are outside the top 20 will play another tournament, a mini tournament, to decide lottery standings. And I'll have a link about that proposal in my Twitter and my Instagram. And I should also have a link on the episode note page. So take a look at that. But yeah, if NBA is gonna resume with a five game regular season tournament and then go into the playoffs, fantasy season is effectively over. I'm happy the NBA is coming back. The fantasy season is not coming back. So with that, I'm ready to watch some basketball. I do hope that they will resume this, and I do hope that NBA have a successful comeback to show us the playoffs and have a champion this year. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe. My podcast is now available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, among other platforms. Also follow me on Basketball Daddy in Twitter and Instagram. I have my link to my episode there on social media, Twitter and Instagram. Again, that's at Basketball Daddy on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for listening again. See you next time.